Welcome to this week's Embrace the Hate. I'm Matt Nost.
I'm Rick Ingram, a.k.a. Dick Penis Cock.
So on the StreamYard that we use, you can sign in as whatever you want. So I use this for other stuff. I have my name up there. And each week, Rick, well, this is only the second iteration, is it not?
Yeah, I think this is the first time that I went by anything other than my actual name.
Well, it was Rick Tater before, was it not?
I believe it was Rick the Dictator Ingram.
Okay. So that's considered the real name.
That's the real deal. The Dictator's my middle name.
Wow. So you have two middle names, the and then Dictator.
That's correct. It's European.
What is that, Italian? Or you? It's like Mussolini started that trend, and then your parents decided, you know what? That seems like something we should restart here in Kansas.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was probably a Kaiser at some point who did something similar. And that's probably where the lineage goes to. But, you know, it's like people, you know, sometimes they go with like Prince or King for a name or middle name. I just think the Dictator, you know, just fit better in my case.
Although I don't mind Kaiser, even though, you know, that's closer to King on some level than it is Dictator, but whatever.
Yeah, I knew a kid in high school named Tony Kaiser, and that guy was a real zero. So I couldn't bear to share a namesake with that guy.
It's not a bad name though, Tony Kaiser. It rolls off. I mean, it's near Kornheiser. I guess maybe that's why I'm used to it.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, 5 years, if he would have been 5 years younger, he definitely probably would have been a mass shooter. That was the vibe that Tony Kaiser gave off.
So you're saying that had he been in a more malleable, formidable age, a younger age, when Columbine happened, he would have learned from their mistakes and up.
Yeah, well, you know, Columbine was really the thing that set off all the school shootings, and Tony and I graduated like a week and a half after Columbine, so he didn't have the chance really to take it to the next level. Like, I really think he would have had he been, you know, class of 2004 or something.
Well, you know, hopefully he's got kids and he can teach those kids and they can be the future.
That's what it's all about. This coronavirus has really put a standstill on the mass shootings, and you know, that's tough.
Somebody tweeted out like, this is the first month without a school shooting, and X number was like 18 years or something ridiculous. March was.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's sad, but yeah, that's probably true. I'm not going to fact.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty limited. I mean, schools aren't open, but you'd have to shoot up an essential workplace, which is, that's really low if you're going to do that.
And it doesn't count. That goes into a different statistical category. So unless it's run by high school students and it was another student doing it, and could be possible. I don't know. But I'm not really into defining what gets counted as a school shooter and what doesn't.
Yeah. Like, you could go door to door on like a Zoom class, I suppose. That's just a lot of work going into that. And I feel like the other kids are going to notice that, you know, people are dropping off one at a time.
Just one by one, the laptops go black. You're like, something's fishy.
Look, all I'm saying is if someone wants it, you know, they got to put the effort in now.
I was thinking about tonight, like the lead up, nothing's happened in for a month now. So outside of talking about COVID and the fucking weirdness around politics, like, there's nothing legitimately to talk about. It's so strange.
Yeah. I mean, the news is pretty focused on one thing. It's basically just like articles about first responders and, you know, the economic impacts.
But there's no other you know, world news outside of this. There's no other business news. There's no sports to distract you. There's no, I don't really follow pop culture stuff. I don't know if there's like some celebrity, this, that, and the other, but outside of more than likely them giving out masks or donations or some shit like that, it's all going to be COVID related. So it's just so strange taking a step back and going, nothing happens. I get no other new information outside of updating some aspect of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing left in the world for people to argue about. At least they're still arguing, though. That's really the important part.
They haven't lost their vigor yet.
It has not brought everyone together. You know, we're still two teams, and we are at war with each other. And that's the beautiful part about America right now.
I love the – someone put a timeline together, Fox News talking, showing like Virginia – and Michigan with people saying, you know, we want these restrictions lifted. And within 2 minutes or less, Trump tweets out, we got to liberate Virginia. We got to liberate Michigan. It's like, yeah. Wow, dude. I mean, he's always taking his cues from, you know, Fox and Friends in the morning and whatnot. But at the same time, it's always jarring when you can see a distinct timeline.
Dude, such an idiot. And his band of Mary retards, fucking Kellyanne on there talking. It's, you know, this is not COVID one. This is COVID 19. So why didn't the WHO get their act together? And even the Fox and Friends people, the look on their faces, like, does this bitch not understand how this works?
Well, that 19 is for the year it was discovered. It has,
yeah.
It's not,
and it's not. Like it's been 19 mutations and they still just haven't figured this thing out.
Exactly. I mean, that would be, then yes, I would be griping along with you. Be like, we got nothing. We've seen 19, it means at least it's 19 years because we have to discover a new, you know, unless you're counting every mutation of the same exact virus. But, you know, yes, I would side with you. WHO and others are failing, but no, it's named after the year. This is utterly different than, you know, fucking SARS or MERS or any of the rest of them.
Yeah. And then like Laura Ingraham trying to like just constantly trying to get Dr. Fauci to basically take the Fox side of, we can open this up, right? Because she's like, you know, we never got a vaccine for HIV and, you know, we didn't shut the country down, right?
Yeah, that's look really cool.
His look on his face is just like, God, what, do I have to explain this, really? He's like, well, it's a very different thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I saw someone, I can't remember what, might have even been MSNBC, and they were talking about bailouts and ultimately saying it was, you know, a good thing, and they had on a hedge fund manager or somebody that does, you know, large-scale investments. They obviously had him on just to parrot everything that they're saying. And he flat out goes, no, they should fail. They should fail. If they didn't protect themselves for these times, then guess what? We shouldn't have to, as taxpayers, bail you out. And they can file for bankruptcy and the protected one, and they reorganize and they trim the debt and their fat and they move forward, or they just go away. And the guy was just so flabbergasted, like, this is not why we had you on.
Yeah,
you back my play here.
Please follow the script, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to say what we want? Well, here's Dr. Phil. We got 300,000 people dying in pools every year. Yes, pool deaths are contagious, Dr. Phil. Great call. Very good comparison.
I was really hoping for a full Dick Penis Cock Dr. Phil impression, you know, because usually – you can't wait to get into it. You know, some colloquialism that I've never heard.
I just can't. I'm amazed that even the stupidity of Fox News is like, get Dr. Phil on. That's the perfect person. But I guess people who watch Fox News would probably be like, his name's Dr. Phil. It's good enough for me.
Well, he's been a doctor in my life for 15 years, so it's utterly believable at this point. But let's not listen to Fauci, the guy that has the job specifically for this, you know, event.
Has it been around since Reagan?
Yeah. It basically dealing with various levels of pandemic type of research and, you know, that aspect of the bureaucracy. Let's not listen to the guy that would know the answers to the questions that we have. And when he says he doesn't have the answer, then there more likely is no answer.
I love the right-wing conspiracy is people, I just see him tweeting shit about, just like, this guy is a Clinton stooge. It's like, yes, the Clinton powerhouse put him into office during Ron Reagan's presidency because they knew that their power were gaining. And this was the only way to set it up so that we didn't all know. Too bad we figured it out.
Well, I'm starting to more and more believe part of what that conspiracy theory you told me about, basically Trump slow rolling this because it better improves his chances in the election, because maybe there won't be an election. We can't open up. And now rushing states to open back up would just fuel that even more. And the political expediency of the entire ordeal is like, wow, this just more smacks of he doesn't want an election come November. So if there's an earlier wave, second wave, then that'll lead to more than likely a third wave, and then we won't be open at all.
Well, that and his now is the time to shut down the Postal Service play, which is just like, okay. Well, everyone who votes by mails, it's fraud. It's almost always fraud. Just hundreds of people sitting around in a room filling out fake ballots. Like, well, didn't you vote by mail? He's like, well, that's different. That's completely different. You know, I'm in Washington and I vote in Florida, so that's different. But, you know, there's a lot of information out there about it. Like, where could we get that information? We'll give it to you at another time. You'll get it.
Oh, well, and turning that over to, you know, UPS or FedEx. I saw a FedEx worker that tweeted out and it had tens of thousands of retweets. That's why I ended up in my timeline. But the cost to ship a letter to like some remote place, it's 50 cents or whatever it is from the post office. And he said minimum it's going to be is I think $7.35 from FedEx, because there's a standard $6 and change or something just to send.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on top of that, to get to whatever location plus taxes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, bumps it up another dollar or something. Like, wow, there we go. Private enterprise is always superior.
Yeah. And Trump's whole thing is just, you know, if the Postal Service was, if this were a private business, you know, it's a terrible business plan and it doesn't seem to understand the concept of government run services, where, you know, this one doesn't service him. So we definitely shouldn't keep this one going, but we make so much money from that military, obviously, that's totally worth it. I mean, sure, it seems like we go $600 trillion in debt to the military every couple of years, but obviously we're making that back because such a for-profit industry. But
our defense spending is what? It's easily double the closest, you know, spender. If you add like the next nine up of the top 10, I don't even know if they equal what we spend.
Probably not.
But when Trump got into office, literally making the statement of they didn't even have bullets. That's why we got to bump up their budget. They were out of bullets. You're like, that's news to anybody that's got a functioning brain at all. I mean, I've heard stories from guys that did tours in Iraq and Afghanistan where they have to blow up munitions because it's not worth it to transport it back to another location. So it makes more economical sense just to blow up that fucking, you know, munitions dump over there as opposed to transporting it. Like, we're out of bullets? Really? I don't think that's the case. Bullets are pretty cheap in the grand scheme of military spending.
Yeah, this is all part of the – he inherited nothing. Just like he keeps going with the – our national stockpile of medical supplies was empty. The Obama administration didn't prepare us at all for this pandemic. It's like, it's been around for 6 months. You've been in office for 3 years. This is on Obama.
100%. I don't know. At this point, like, there's nothing that he's going to say that's going to make any difference. know, yeah. he can be as hyperbolic as he wants to. And he's never going to lose a supporter. And it's not like, you know, people already tried to impeach him and that didn't stick because, well, you know, he's a good politician. So I don't know. It's to some degree at this point, I'm just kind of hoping he can keep topping himself. Like what is coming next?
You know? Yeah.
Mike Pence is already agreed upon as the greatest vice president. Trust me. I've talked to everybody at the Smithsonian.
Well, I saw Trump the other day in his daily COVID briefing / propaganda speech. Just talking about unbelievable how great Mike Pence is doing. I mean, we're all just so happy with how incredible he's doing. And literally Mike Pence is just standing behind him, just straight faced, like, what are we doing?
Because he knows ultimately whenever a real question comes up, Trump just sidesteps and goes, Mike, why don't you handle that one? Okay. There is no answer. Fantastic. Why don't we get our brain trust of Jared Kushner and Ivanka on this?
That Kushner, he is a special breed.
Yeah. I just don't like, he looks the embodiment of every creepy, like if you were to visualize and having never met him, think of white collar, the creepiest person that you possibly could, that you'd never want to see in a dark, you know, room. How much Kushner's just glowing, shiny, weaselly little face.
I saw someone was sharing pictures of Jared from the last 10 years and just like a progression of how his face has continued to get creepier with the more plastic surgery he has.
He looks plastic.
And it's amazing. Like he used to have two deep dimples, one on each cheek.
Wow, really?
At the point where now it's just perfectly smooth. There's no, it's like a full transformation where you're just like, whoa. I mean, he's creepy looking, but it's crazy that he genuinely made himself creepier looking.
Julia has dimples, right?
Julia?
Yeah. No,
not really.
I thought she did. I read this thing years ago. So you ever heard of that cool sculpting? Where they take some sort of cold thing and they put it over the fat and then it helps shrink the fat up. And then ultimately, like they die and your body reabsorbs and pushes it out and all that. They discovered that because they noticed that kids that ate a lot of popsicles, all like their percentage chance of having dimples is much higher. It's why they eat the popsicles. They're freezing the inside of their cheeks and reducing the fat right there. So kids that have dimples, and now every time I see them, I don't know why I thought Julia did, but I was like, oh, their parents must like let them have Otter Pops or some shit like that.
No. I mean, she'll eat popsicles, but she has gotten no dimples from it.
Okay. Just not a crazy. So Kushner may have been a popsicle baby.
You know? I think that he was probably sucking popsicles for a long time. And now that he's married, he has to pretend like he doesn't just love popsicles in his mouth by the dozen.
Well, you know, it was fudgesicles. And then he got married. And then they had to get off of fudgesicles. And have that around the vodka.
I never heard or seen of someone losing their dimples from plastic surgery, but when I saw
that, filler. Yeah,
saw the evolution of his face, I'm like, wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is fucking.
And then just his just how dumb he is with like not understanding what you can't say. Just like, well, you know, a friend of mine, they needed something, so he called me and we set it up. You're just like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be run.
Oh, okay. Your friend who has, you know, elite access into the White House managed to get through the process. Good for you. Did you watch John Oliver on Sunday? I saw it on YouTube.
No.
I
don't respect the British. You know that.
Well, he had a segment about like the small business loans, and the guy that's the head of it was like, you know, my wife is an artist of some renown, and she went down to our local community bank, and basically she didn't have a problem getting one. Like, I'm pretty sure the bank knew who she was and who you are, and facilitated the situation a great deal.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient.
It is. And why does his wife, who's an artist, need a government subsidy.
Well, you know, she sells her art business.
She knows. I'm not saying it's not a legitimate business, but maybe he should take the tack of, we'll let other businesses that need the money, you know, I'm pretty sure that he's set, like anybody else that has to do with the financial aspects of our government is typically usually pretty set before they take the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm dying for, I can't wait for the Jordan documentary on Sunday. Something related.
Yeah.
And it's 10 parts. Before I was like, wow, 10 parts. Like, as a Jordan and Bulls fan, totally. I could watch 20 hours. But for the average person, I was sitting there going, man, is that really going to be able to pull in, you know, enough people? And now that there's no counter programming sports wise, Tiger King should have gone for 20 at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw ESPN was showing reruns of the Cornhole Championship Tournament.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
Swear to God.
There's a Cornhole Championship Tournament.
Yeah.
Means there were prelims to get in. I know enough people that play it, but B, there was enough of a demand that they actually fucking sent a crew down there, gave them announcers. Were there? There had to be announcers.
There was. And again, I think this was from like last year. They just realized no one watched this the first time around on ESPN4. So might as well throw it on now. And then, you know, just like when they show bowling, there's like the one guy who's just way too pumped up and amped up about it.
Yeah.
Tosses the beanbag that both knocks the competitor's beanbag off the thing and makes his go in. It's just, yeah, yeah, wow.
So a couple of years ago, I stumbled across championship darts over in the UK. And they sell out like a few thousand seat places. And people are just going bananas for these fat, diabetic, like just portly, gross old men throwing darts. And there are guys like that. There's like the bad boy of darts, and he does that. Other competitors don't like him because he razzes them. And you're like, eh. They had an interview with him. So over the years, anytime there's an article about it, I read it because it's utterly fascinating to me that there's enough of a viewership. People turn up for this live, and then the guys ended up, you know, creating these fucking wrestling-like personas. And then the bad boy was just like, in essence, you know, it gets more eyes on the sport. I think it's good overall what I'm doing. And they had, you know, counter interviews. People are like, that dude's an asshole. It's fucking
he's ruining the sanctity of darts.
Exactly. It's like, it's fucking darts. I'm sorry. I can't believe that there are people cheering.
It's like that line in Kingpin where it's like, yeah, it's intimidating being in the presence of so many great athletes. And then you just see a bunch of fat dudes standing around drinking beer.
Oh, dude. If they had a big Earn McCracken, I would watch darts.
That's what I was picturing, was just a fat, big Earn.
No,
big Earn is above the wall.
I always think of Big Earn's little PSA commercial with the single moms.
Keep going.
Oh, the from behind. That movie's a gem.
Yeah. Kentucky. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, Mr. McCracken is already there.
I saw that in the theater. I was actually like excited to go see it because I was a fan of their work. I liked it, but then I didn't love it. And it was on Comedy Central or something on repeat for years. And that's where the charm of it really like sunk in. Had I just seen it once and then sporadically, you know, one or two other times, I don't think I'd enjoy it near as much.
Yeah. That's one of those movies that I don't know that I've ever, after the kind of like you, I guess, said the after the first viewing, I was like, well, that was funny, but I watched it lots of times because it's on. I never sought out watching it.
No, never once.
But Bill Murray is amazing in that. So all of his scenes are so fantastic.
I know. And he's in it just the right amount because it makes you anytime he's on, you're instantly like locked in and paying attention. They don't overuse him. Yeah, it's you know, it's one that doesn't get seen probably more than likely compared to some of the rest of their work, but it's quality.
Mr. McCracken, what do you have to say about the paternity case against you? Oh, that bitch is a stone-faced liar. I pulled out way early on that one.
You're on a gravy train with biscuit wheels. To sell them early on. Have you watched any good movies?
Nothing new. We were watching What About Bob earlier, which is...
Oh, dude, that's an all-timer for me. That is in my top three. Could be my favorite Bill Murray.
Yeah, he's so good. It's so good. We were watching the beginning scenes where he's got to go leave his apartment. It's just one of those things where, like, whoa, we're all Bill Murray now. We're all Bob Wiley.
Yeah.
Not wanting to touch anything or get on the elevator with people or...
Baby steps onto the elevator. Doc, it's working. I sail way, way far away from the dock. I've never done it before, but
he's so good. Richard Dreyfuss is just so perfect.
He is playing basically Richard Dreyfuss, just this curmudgeonly crank. Oh, look, you crushing the dew at 10 o'clock at night.
Dude, that's my going to bed dew.
What does it have? Slightly less caffeine than regular? That's the nighttime dew?
Oh, I'm sure this thing is just packed full of caffeine. I don't know what the percentage is there, but.
Have you tried the dew zero or whatever?
That's what this is.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's tasty.
It is. I don't know if I like that or diet better, because now I'm used to diet.
Yeah, I think it's good. I haven't tasted them next to each other, so.
I don't think there's a huge difference, like the difference between Diet Coke and Coke Zero. Like, that's massive, whereas they just changed that. You know, Diet Dew. I remember when you reintroduced that into my life because I so wanted to like it and it was just trash. So I stopped. Like after I stopped drinking Mountain Dew, I tried my diet for a while and it was gross.
Yeah. So
I stopped drinking it entirely. Where were we? I think we were at a trim room or something. You're like, no, they brought it back, reformulated. It's way better.
It was, man. I remember getting it when I first found out I was diabetic and just being like, oh, this is nasty. Gave it a couple years, let them figure it out.
Well, did somebody tell you about it? Or are you just on a Diet Coke? You're like, I'm sick of diet this, that, or the other. I'll try Dew again.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. I think I got it at like a Taco Bell or something and being like, oh, maybe the fountain is way better, and then getting a bottle somewhere and being like, this is better than I remember.
Yeah, it's night and day. I couldn't stand it. I wouldn't drink it at all. And now I've gotten a couple in the past like month.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't mind too many of the diet sodas. I don't like Diet Coke. That's like the one that I still just don't. I can't drink it without just being like, oh, this tastes fucking like chemicals.
Yeah, I see. I basically, like, that was the only Diet Coke that was in, or diet soda that was in our house. My dad drank regular caffeine free Coke. He didn't want the caffeine, so it's fine with the sugar. And then we'd have some Diet Coke in there, so I got used to it, and now I like Diet Coke. It's probably my default diet soda, and then I'll have others.
Yeah, I can't. That's like the one I just won't buy.
No, it's the only one that it feels like they went out of their way to make it taste like chemicals.
Yeah.
The others are at least trying to approximate, you know, a good beverage.
They're attempting.
Some better than others. Diet Dr. Pepper's good, but it's a little too fake sweet for me.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, I still don't know the difference between Diet Dr. Pepper and Diet Cherry Dr. Pepper.
I don't know. I mean, I know, I'm sure I've had it, but I couldn't tell you if there's any real taste difference.
I'm pretty sure that cherry is one of the 23 flavors. So I think they're just packaging something on there and, you know, branding it. So people are like, I like cherry Coke. Let's get the cherry one.
I think Diet Pepsi is the only diet that I flat out hate that I can think of.
I don't mind Diet Pepsi. It's not the best, but.
Oh, that is the absolute worst.
That was what my parents drank when I was growing up. And I still almost never drank it, but maybe like once or twice a year, I'd be like, oh, I just want a soda. And so I drank half of a can and then be like, this isn't that good.
Oh, no, although I don't like, I never liked Pepsi as a kid. I always liked Coke.
You're just classy as fuck is really what this is about. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's just a Kansas thing where maybe your state hadn't gotten Coke yet by the time you were above that age, you know? It is kind of remote.
I was knee deep in drinking Crystal Pepsi from 91 to 94 that I was on the Pepsi. But, you know, once they got rid of the Crystal, I was out, man.
I've never had it.
Never had Crystal Pepsi?
Never. I didn't do it. They were coming out with a gimmick, and I was like, I don't even like your regular product. Why am I going to like the clear version? I don't fucking care. I was a kid. It's not like it was, I'll try it just to try it once, you know, type of thing. It's like, I only have 25 or 50 cents or whatever it costs to get a soda. I'm not getting your bullshit soda. I'm going to get a Coke or a Mountain Dew or something.
I mean, I haven't had one in 25 years or whatever it was, but I just remember it tasting like flat Pepsi.
Okay.
Like in my mind, that's what it tasted like. It was just like a not quite as flavorful Pepsi. So it wasn't great. There's no shock why it didn't last. Like when they brought it back, I'm like, they're really just hoping that nostalgia is strong enough to make people buy this shit.
Well, I think they're also trying. It's like the same reason, you know, sports teams do retro jerseys and all that shit. It's just to get more money out of people.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're probably already going to buy a 12-pack of Pepsi anyway. Maybe you buy an extra one of the Crystal Pepsi and we get a little more money in here.
I always loved when I worked in restaurants, the just absolute trash humans that would be livid that we're selling Coca-Cola products instead of Pepsi products.
Really?
Like the diehard Pepsi drinkers are like a really special breed of trash.
See, now I can understand that if they wanted Mountain Dew, because that's the only one to me that is coveted.
I mean, I don't think I ever worked in a restaurant that had Mountain Dew or Mellow Yellow or whatever the Coca-Cola one is. I'm pretty sure that they didn't. Even I worked in one restaurant that had Pepsi products, and I don't think we had Mountain Dew.
Okay. Yeah, we went out to eat, you know, it was like 2 months ago or something, and I usually get a Diet Coke at night. And they'll tell you, oh, we only have, you know, Diet Pepsi. Is that fine? Whatever. I'm like, sure, I don't care. You know, right now, beggars can't be choosers, and I just want that because – Catherine may or may not have like a glass of wine or something. So it's instead of just having water, I'll get one of those. And we went to some place, I can't remember where it was. And I was like, can I just get a Diet Coke? And they're like, sure, no problem. They came back and I took a sip and I was like, the hell is this shit? And had her take a sip and she was like, well, that tastes weird. And then I, you know, see what they have and it's like Dr. Faust's diet soda tonic. And you're like, what is this knockoff? Wannabe fucking just homeopathic soda.
Yeah, that shit'll kill you.
Oh, dude, it's the worst.
Diet Right, whatever the RC Cola diet brand is.
I just hate the mom and pop soda company. Like, I've never had one that's good diet version. So just stop making it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Dr. Brown's It's like a fancy hipster soda. They have a diet black cherry soda that I got at Greenblatt's one time where I'm like, okay. But it, you know, it's only because who drinks black cherry soda in general? So I have nothing to compare it to, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like an adult soda, but adults don't really, you know, they kind of have locked in what they drink. I'm sure there are people out there that hunt out every type of fucking soda to try it, and that's their thing. So be it. But I don't know. Well, shit, I just lost. There you are. You popped out for a second, pop back in.
Yep. You froze on my side.
Are you guys eating out much? You just cook. No. I'm saying no. Like takeout.
No. Just making stuff at home. Go to the grocery store every week and a half to 2 weeks and load up and just make everything at home.
We've been doing like one meal out of, you know, every once a week in essence, just mixing it up. But there's like a burrito stand not far from us. We'll go grab a couple of burritos just to do something slightly different. But yeah. You're eating outside, everybody keeps their distance. Outside of that, yeah, we've been making food. What's the one thing, like when this is all done, where's the one place you want to eat first?
There's like a taco place out in Thousand Oaks called Snapper Jack's that I enjoy.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like Snapper Jack's?
Snapper Jack's. It's like a Baja taco.
Jimmy Buffett kind of vibe for a taco stand?
It honestly kind of feels like, it's Thousand Oaks. So it feels like you're in Missouri or something, but good tacos. Even their fish tacos are good. And I don't typically like fish, so it's pretty shocking. But
would you get the fried or the grilled?
I would get the grilled. I've had it. I think I've had the fish taco 3 times, maybe. Usually I get the steak or chicken tacos, but they're good, man. I definitely miss being able to grab it, you know, even once a month or something.
How far out is it from your place?
It's probably 15 minutes from me. It's basically like the 101 and the 23 North. So it's pretty close to the farm where we got married, which is, it's like 15, 20 minutes from us. So
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You guys aren't far from, where the wedding was.
Yeah. Pretty close. We still, well, not this year, but in last year, stuff, we still go out to the farm, pick vegetables and fruit when it's the right season. So.
Yeah. But. Catherine's trying to talk. We have a loquat tree? What kind of tree is it? I don't know. She said, is it a loquat? We have a loquat tree. So she was like, do you want to make some preserves? Let's make some preserves. And I'm like, I don't want to make fucking preserves. But eventually I was like, this is going to make you happy. I'll make fucking preserves. It's fine. Because apparently they ripen too quickly, so you got to do something with them pretty quick. So if we got extra loquat preserves, I'll hold on to them.
Corinne loves that shit. Loquats. I don't even know what it is.
Neither do I. A buddy of mine, I don't think you ever met him. He's a writer. He used to be a comic way back when in San Diego, but by his own admission, he sucks at it. But he's a good writer. So it's just like, find what you do, do that. And he came over to see the place right before we rented everything out. He just wanted to see it after all the renovations. And I've known him for, 15 years. Like right now we see each other once a month or something, grab dinner. And he's just walking around the place and he's like, that's a loquat tree. And look at this, you got a baby avocado tree. There's a fucking arborist. I had no idea. Just naming off every goddamn plant. So yeah, we got loquats coming in. If Corinne wants some, I don't know how quickly they go ripe. Maybe I can bring some to you.
She looks very excited about the prospect.
I don't even know what it looks like. And we've got the damn tree. I got to get, because it's, you know, tucked off on the side.
That's weird. She says they're like orange teardrops, which sounds terrible, but it sounds like a weird, European fruit that as a decent American, I could never even dream of touching. But
you're okay with your middle name being of European heritage.
Listen, I'm a white man. I can't help that I'm of European heritage. The point is we got out and we can stay out.
I thought you were going to say, listen, I'm a white man. So basically I'm allowed to be a hypocrite. It's fine. Well,
generations. I am 100% allowed to be just a terrible person that stands for nothing.
I think you're describing most of humanity.
No, that's true.
But yeah, I'll keep you on the loquat. I'll send you a text.
Yeah, appreciate it. Just keep me on the up and up.
Not a problem.
Now
she wants jam. I thought it was preserves.
What's the difference between jams and preserve?
I don't know. More sugar, less. I think jelly is just the juice and gelatin. Jam and preserves, I don't know. Because they both have fruit in them with sugar and fucking, you know. To me, they're all the same, but I don't know.
Un-American. That's preserve what that
sounds classier.
Yeah. Did you see the video, speaking of idiot white people, did you see the video of Florida's governor putting on his mask?
No. What, he put it on upside down?
Yeah, he looked at it and didn't realize that you put it over your ears. So he took it this way and just put this one over the top, and then just the other one's just hanging down.
Hanging below his chin?
Yeah. Like what he even thought, why the bottom one would be there. Like, how do I?
What purpose does that serve? Oh, you know what? I should have put that one over my head already. And then I pull, my mistake, guys, but it's all right. It does the job. I saw one where one of the Michigan, I think it was Michigan lawmakers that's pushing for lifting the restrictions showed up to the state house, but he had his N95 mask upside down and the bottom strap was hanging. But the little metal clasp was going below his chin. And you're like, this is the brain trust that's helping make the decisions in Michigan. Good for you guys.
Yeah. A lot of smart people out there.
Well, my favorite to date is the Georgia, you know, governor, when they said, you know, we just found out that asymptomatic people are contagious. You know, this is a game changer for us. And this was 3.5-4 weeks into everybody shutting down. And you're like, really? You guys just got the memo the rest of us have been hearing for weeks?
Only in the last 24 hours.
He turns to his health, you know, official, whoever it was, this woman, and she's like, look at her. She's like, it's a game changer, right? It's a game changer. Okay. All right, well, good. Maybe you guys start thinking outside of the box, and when the end of the day gets down to brass tacks, blah, 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 blah.
We had no idea this thing could be spread from one person to another.
It's not what Dr. Phil told me.
Look, every year there are 200,000 kids who get their dicks cut off climbing over fences, but we still, keep the economy open.
Yes, and even relate it back to fences. That seems, you kind of be cementing your point, saying, and we don't get rid of fences, so. But no, let's just move on to the economy. The lieutenant governor in Texas started this whole wave. He was the first one who was saying that. I'm a grandparent. I'm willing to die for the economy for my grandkids. And, it's been a nice downhill trend from there.
We just need them. We need the people that believe this stuff to just get this thing and die ASAP.
I'd be happy with it if they were to sign a waiver saying, if you come down with conditions from this later on, you don't get ventilators, you don't get a hospital bed, you get to ride it out at home, but you don't get to take advantage of any of the health services.
You do not use ventilators because you don't let the government tell you what to do. It's about freedom, Matt. Get with it.
Is it as impressed as I was with your hair last week? It's even better this week.
It's just going to keep getting better. It's slowly rolling from Confederate soldier into German war helmet.
I mean, I feel like mine's long, but I swear to God, yours has grown a solid inch in the past week.
It's at the point where ideally I would have gotten my hair cut a week before, had I known that the world was going to close for a few months.
Yeah, me but too.
I'm at the point now where you're like, well, now it seems like I'm growing it out, but really I don't want to shave my head and there is no other option.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming because I shaved it once, like freshman year of high school, and my head just looked huge, just absolutely enormous. And I wear like a big size hat. I'm almost, I think, like 7 3/4, or I'm just below 8, something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, I haven't bought a fitted hat in years. Maybe it's bigger. I don't even know. But I know that this looks like I have a massive fucking melon. I could only imagine. If I've seen guys that have shaved and just like, all right, you're pulling it off, and you see others and be like, no, you need to grow it back, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's at this point, there's just no turning back. It's just going to look terrible for months. I guess I don't have to see anybody, so
yeah,
that's one benefit.
I know, and anytime I have to go somewhere, I just put a hat on. So easy. Thankful I don't have to deal with any of the bull. I mean, everybody's as long as who cares. I stay up on, you know, keeping the beard down. So it's about as long as I'll let it get, and I got to shave it back off because it's not good to have the extra facial hair right now. There's no point in catching extra shit from the air. So.
Yep. I'm going to shave this down just a sweet soul patch and then maybe go Salvador Dali on it.
I don't even know if my hair would grow that long. You know what I mean? Like Dolly's did. I realize all hair grows, but I don't know if like beard hair grows the same. Cause it's not like your eyebrows. You do get those random, like huge long ones, but it's not like they all do it. And those long ones continue to keep growing forever. It just falls out eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't even know if I could do that. If I wanted to do the Dolly or anybody else that has those crazy long ones.
Yeah, I remember mine would curl.
Yeah, mine does too.
It wouldn't go full Dolly, I don't think. I just never let it get that long when I had a mustache, but I get it to curl a little bit. I get to like there, and then I'd end up trimming it because I didn't want to look like a full hipster. I just wanted it to look like a trashy dude with a mustache.
I think it was success either way. You'd have been fine.
I wanted to look like the type of man who would have a
Oh shit, we lost him for the first time. Not bad. 48 minutes, 49 minutes into the show, something along those lines. There he is. He's back up and still kind of frozen. Let's see if we can get him back. Otherwise, maybe for the first time ever, we have to end the broadcast early. I don't know. Dick Peniscock is still in frozen oblivion. There he is, stroking his beard, coming back.
Yeah.
Shit, we lost him again. And now we're getting the loading signal on him, which has never happened when we're doing this. So let's see if he comes back. I don't know. Frozen image, but at least I see an image. Feels weird to do play-by-play on something you can't see. You just listen, talk about random shit. All right, there he is. He's back. Nope, frozen again. I thought for a half, I literally waited 2 seconds and then lost them all over again. Son of a bitch. Dude, what's up with the, you know, Calabasas Thousand Oaks internet connections here?
Dude, I'm telling you, this is, you know, I pay top dollar for the best AOL they offer, and this is how they repay me? Bullshit.
One of the tenants moving in downstairs texts me and was like, hey, who do you use for internet? And I was like, oh, we got AT&T. And they're like, oh, that's weird because AT&T said they won't come out because they don't have service in that area. And like, oh, that's strange. And texted back, I scheduled an appointment with Earthlink. And I didn't even know Earthlink existed still. I thought that company had fallen off, you know, filed for bankruptcy or something, or got bought up like 10 years ago. I couldn't tell you the last time I heard Earthlink.
Yeah, I don't think I've known anyone who used Earthlink since early 2000s, maybe.
Yeah, it's been years. When she said that, I was like, that's crazy. Earthlink, like Spectrum, sure. You know, obviously I've got AT&T. There's a couple others, but Earthlink, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's mind boggling.
Yeah, I question how good that service is even going to be, because I'm assuming they have to piggyback off the phone lines, or it's not like it's theirs.
Yeah, I assume they're going to have the slowest internet of all time.
Without a doubt.
Probably dial-up.
Hopefully it's not, you know, important for her job to be able to stream at all times, because I don't think she'll be able to do that with Earthlink. It sucks, though, the neighbor. So one of the houses right next to it, this same guy had been living there for over two decades, like 25 years or something. And the house got sold. He was renting. And the guy that bought it is tearing certain aspects of it down to the foundation. Like, so he's been jackhammering up foundation starting at 8:30 in the morning, every morning. And then it has to go down this huge tube down the hill into a dumpster. So after the jackhammering, you're like, all right, then, you know, noise is over. And then it's another like hour and a half of just rubble going down this huge tube. And then it hits the metal dumpster. It just makes an even more thunderous sound. And you're like, this is fun. All day long, just a cacophony of disturbing noise.
Dude, that sounds like the dream, bro. I mean, you should be setting up gambling pools on, you know, how long it's going to take trash to make it to the dumpster. People are looking for entertainment, Nost.
I'll live stream it.
That's a pretty big block of concrete. I'm guessing maybe 8.5 seconds, and then people bet over under.
Well, you know, then I think we got to cut them in, because we have to slow down how quickly they're loading them in. But it's possible. It's possible. If that's the case, I'll get you in. You can do color and I'll do play-by-play.
That's beautiful. Did you catch Joe Buck trending on Twitter earlier?
I heard he was like a week ago, because he was doing play-by-play on whatever random shit people would send him.
Yeah, so some porn site offered Joe Buck $1 million to announce their live stream or something. And so someone saw the offer and like tweeted at Joe Buck, hey, such and such is offering $1 million for you to announce their live streams. And Joe Buck was like, there's a decent chance that they'd just be giving me my money back, which is a pretty amazingly.
It is. I'm amazed he engaged that much, considering who he works for.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Fox, but still, you're the face of part of their family entertainment stuff in sports. I just assumed he'd been like, oh, that's, you know, very kind. Maybe they should donate that money to some sort of charity that's going on right now.
No, he went for the, obviously I spend a lot of money on porn sites, but I want to keep my day job, was what his response was.
It's great. And it's somewhat out of touch, because I can't think of a single person that does spend their money on that. So
if anyone's spending money on porn websites, it's definitely Joe Buck.
Well, I mean, after he had that screw up from the getting his hair.
The hair plug addiction.
Hair plug. Thank you. I was just trying to re-implantation is what my brain kept saying. It's like, that's not what it's called, Matt. Because apparently that messed him up for a while.
Yeah, I mean, to say you're a hair plug addict and go public with it, there's got to be one of the more embarrassing statements someone can make.
Well, I mean, I guess good for him being honest, better than lying about it. But it's not one of those things of I gave two shits about Joe Buck's hairline. Now, Jeremy Piven's, yes, for some reason.
He's a beautiful man.
When we got to know him, he was balding, and he would be bald in a matter of years. And then 5-6 years later, after he had some success, suddenly he's got a full, thick, lush head of hair.
Well, I always think it's interesting Rogan has the scar on the back of his head now that he's just gone full shave the head. You're like, I remember asking, like, why does he have that scar on his head? And someone's like, just from them pulling his hair forward. And I was like, God, that's tough. If you're going to end up deciding that you probably look better just a shaved head.
Yeah, ultimately. I thought they cut the strip out and then they took the hairs from that strip and implanted.
Maybe. I don't really know how it works. Yeah. Just, I remember asking someone, like, damn, that's a big scar, thinking maybe he got it fighting or something. And they're like, no, it's from a hair transplant situation or pulling up his scalp or some bullshit. I don't remember.
Yeah, that sucks. You do one thing and then turn around. It's like people, women that have their makeup tattooed. Like that. So that's the only color you're going to have for that forever, I guess. I mean, I'm sure you could put stuff over top of, but it's just, it's incredible. You want to lock yourself in to that specific look forever.
Listen, when you crush a look, it's time to just ride that thing out.
Yeah. So the guy that looks like he's dying of the milk sickness.
How dare you? Don't make me take off my Kaiser helmet.
Yeah, I don't know. You look like one of John Smith's first followers.
Well, I do believe that was in Independence, Missouri, so I'm not too far from the lineage.
Well, things are starting to make more and more sense then. How's schooling going with Julia?
Preschool is just canceled for now. So, you know, read her books and stuff like that. I mean, she's only three. So,
yeah,
mostly her going to preschool is just about teaching socialization. And since we don't really have any other friends with kids, the only way she interacts with children is by going to preschool.
Well, at least for another week or two.
Well, yeah. I guess that is true as well. Although she's not going to really be able to interact with the baby, so she's got to.
You think she's going to do well with the baby?
I think so. She seems like she's excited about it, so I'm sure there's going to be some jealousy issues at some point. But I mean, she gets jealous now if I'm talking to Corinne and she wants my attention.
Oh, that's going to go well then.
Yeah. She'll get super mad about it. So, Daddy, do not talk to Mommy anymore.
babe, the true dictator in this house actually just made an official edict. So,
I go, that's rude. Don't talk. You can't say that. That's rude. If I'm talking to Mommy, you got to let me talk to Mommy. Well, I don't want you to talk to Mommy. I know you don't, but you're going to have to put up with it. Fine. And then she'll walk away like, not going to talk to me then.
Dude, my sister has two kids. And the oldest is six and the youngest is going to be, I think, three in September. Something along those lines. But the six-year-old is the best kid I've ever seen. Like, he's really giving, really nice. I remember on his birthday, on his fifth birthday, she was getting jealous because he was opening gifts because she was a one and a half, like, or one and, you know, 3 months away from being 2 years old. So he's like, all right, which gifts do you want to play with? And just let her take his brand new toys and go play with them. And he's like, it's fine. You're like, dude, that is amazing. That is like one time we took him, we were at Disney. We went down to downtown Disney and he was either three or four, and we went into one of the shops, and my sister just said to him, all right, play with the toy now, but you know, we're not taking any home. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And he just sat down and played with them for a little while. And they were like, all right, we're getting ready to go. And he's like, no problem. And he put it back on the shelf and just walked out happily. And I was like, this is amazing. He's unlike any kid I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, that's un-American, man. You might check. He might be a Russian.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He's a little too towel-headed. If you had told me he was Hitler's dream for a child, yeah, I'd believe that.
Got it.
Yeah, no, they, so the, my sister and her husband are both now working from home, and they have to work basically full time. The two kids are off. So they stayed home, you know, for 2.5 weeks straight, made sure they were straight, you know, kosher. And then they drove out to my parents' place. Now they're secluded in Colorado. My parents watch the kids during the day while they work. It's not bad. It's a good system.
So there's, she lives in San Diego, right?
Yeah, she's down in San Diego.
So they just said, fuck it, we're going to Steamboat. And
yeah, because it was like a couple days in a row, and Henry, the older one, is supposed to be doing schoolwork. And she texted me, she's like, I worked the entire day. He didn't do any of it. Like, he played and watched movies and all that because neither of us had the time. And, you know, ultimately, he was not going to be able to stay up on his schoolwork or do anything with structure. So my parents are, you know, ecstatic. They'll happily do schoolwork and stuff with them all day long. So they're like, yeah, drive on out. They're just doing the same thing there that they were doing in San Diego, but now they got help. But she said they, it's like a 13-hour drive. They drove it straight. And he spent the whole time, because the younger one, Hazel, didn't do well in the car, got sick a couple of times. And he basically nursed her for the 13 hours. You're like, who is this Mother Teresa little kid?
Yeah, that's suspect, man. You should be trying to make your little sister puke.
That's what I would have done.
Those are the rules, man.
Look, my older brother beat up on me, and I beat up on her because I was older than her. And that was just the way things were.
That makes sense. That's how the system was created, and it's called trickle-down abuse.
Yeah, well, then she would go, if she, like, whatever, ever feel knew my brother was around, and we'd go run for my brother, and my brother then had reason to kick my ass and actually enjoyed it even more, and then would beat me up. And it was a vicious cycle. I got the worst of it, I think.
It sounds like it was probably your fault the whole time, though.
I may more than likely carry that to this day. So, a little psychological scar I didn't realize until this moment. So thank you, Dick Penis Cock, for helping unlock that part of my fucking psyche. Doctor
Dick Penis Cock.
Legend, the dictator.
Dick is short for dictator. Dictator Penis Cock is my full name.
What happened to the? So is it Dick the Tater Penis Cock?
You're thinking of when I went by Rick Ingram. That was Rick the Dictator Ingram. This is Dr. Dictator Penis Cock.
I can't wait till Julia takes this over into school. They have to do like, oh, what's your name? Oh, I'm Julia, Queen of the fucking Universe, Ingram.
She already does do that. She'll go through, so I'll like say stuff to her. Like the other day, she didn't want to take a bath. And so I go, what are you, a dirty hippie? And she'll go, yeah, I'm Julia Josephine Dirty Hippo Ingram. I just assumes that when I called her hippie, I obviously meant hippo. But
yeah, she doesn't know what a hippie is.
No.
Although you keep taking her to Gary Snappers. What was that fucking place? She's going to run. Yeah. I just love that your favorite taco stand is the whitest, most Anglicanized taco stand of all time. It's not even Baja Fresh, something that's at least trying to invoke Mexico.
Dude, there's three locations. They're all in Ventura County. And I've been, who knows, probably 40 times in my life. And there has, it's always just filled to the brim with, like 40 to 55 year old white people.
Of course. And then there's you.
And then me. You know, I represent the next generation of Snapper Jack.
Do you have a t-shirt?
I don't, but I would love to have one. That's for sure.
Snapper second wave. Fan club now.
Ride the wave where it takes you. Snapper Jack season two. Yeah.
The early retirement club. We're going to get to where you're at one day. You're our idols.
I took my parents there when they were here a couple of months ago. My dad was, they of course just play classic rock loudly inside. And my dad's just like, man, this place is the coolest.
Yeah. I know. Bad Company. Hey, and dude, this grilled fish taco is the shit.
There were just, you know, red snapper tacos are is unbelievable. If this stick song,
the best. I'm a joker. I'm a midnight toker. Dude, this carne asada tastes very authentic.
Dude, I'm telling you, they're crushing it. And it's the other thing I still don't understand, but I love, is their flour. If you want flour tortilla tacos, mm-hmm. it's crunchy. And if you want soft tortilla tacos, they're corn.
Well, I mean, I like corn tortilla. Now, like once I got out here and kind of whatever, eating street tacos and stuff like that, I prefer corn tortilla, but I've never seen a flour hard shell before. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, they basically just deep fried taco shell. Yeah.
I can't believe Taco Bell hasn't done that.
Yeah, I as well. Fairly shocked. It's pretty good. I usually get the soft corn. But like if I'm at home, I would never eat a soft corn tortilla because it just doesn't cook right. But in restaurants, yes, I'm saying,
like whatever they do, the lard or whatever the hell they use on the restaurant made ones, it's just way better. And you do it at home and you put it like on the skillet to warm it up, but it tastes even more bland than a corn tortilla kind of tastes bland anyway.
And it always just tears whenever I try and do it at home, just because it's and terrible.
I burn them too easily. Like they start to puff up and shit and just like you flip them over and it's just not the same. We went to this Mexican place a couple of weeks before, you know, quarantine, and looked it up and like owner operated for 30 years or 35 years. And she was still in there. And we were like walking in, seeing that like, oh great, this is going to be really good. Dude, it was bags, chips out of a bag, salsa from a can, like everything was just nuked up and sent out. It was the most depressing Mexican I've had in Southern California, hands down. Like, I don't know how they've been in business for 30, 35 years. It was so something to remind me of shitty stuff in the Midwest, like in Illinois and Peoria or something. Go to the, you know, their shit version of, now there's a couple good, you know, Mexicans by their standards, but.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it was sad.
I can't believe that would stay open in SoCal.
Yeah. Just to have the chips and salsa, you can flat out tell they were from a bag and a can. That's the easiest thing. Every place you go to, there's a Mexican place by us not far that we actually go there specifically for the salsa. Like they know us now, and I bring canisters and buy their salsa to bring home. But they make it all in-house and it's fantastic and it costs them, you know, next to nothing, I'd assume.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about Snapper Jack is they have a large salsa bar. You can get tons of salsas, and then they, if you get it to go, they literally give you like 9 pounds of in-house tortilla chips to take with you.
That's fucking great. Your dad must have loved that too, man. They give you all that salsa. The dream police are going out. This place is the shit.
Oh, they play, I think they played Doors, Roadhouse Blues, right into Allman Brothers, Jessica.
Okay, so it's blues, classic rock.
Yeah.
So maybe some ZZ Top would be the most contemporary. If they're really pushing it, Black Keys.
Oh, yeah, that would never get there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking hits, but nothing after probably 1985.
Okay. All right, well, that narrows it down. So Cheap Trick is not going to make that mix.
Yeah, they're not going to make the cut. But, you know, you might get – maybe you could get a little Bruce Springsteen, but
– Well, they got Allman Brothers. So you're saying Government Mule might be the newest thing that they would have in there.
They would probably consider Government Mule as long as they were covering a classic from 68 to 75.
Don't even want to get – we're not counting the 80s, the early ZZ Top?
No. No point. They're just going with the old jams. Government Mule is who? It's Allman Brothers and Grateful Dead?
No. Government Mule is the guy that took over as lead guitarist for the Almonds for like 15 years or something. It's his side band.
Got it.
I can't remember his name. Heavy set guy, long blonde hair. Anyway, who cares?
Yeah. I just knew it was like some, there's a couple guys from random members of other bands.
I'll look it up since we got, you know, fucking internet on easy access right now. Let's see. It is a Southern rock jam band formed in 1994 as a side project for Warren Haynes from the Allman Brothers.
Warren Haynes.
Warren Haynes. I knew the name. And as soon as I read it, I'm like, oh yeah, Warren Haynes. I think I've seen them twice.
Back in your jam band phase?
Yeah, going to like further festivals. So with not the Grateful Dead, Grateful Dead. And then they'll have maybe Government Mule or maybe Hot Tuna or maybe, you know, two or three other bands.
Hot Tuna? That's a...
I believe that was the name of the band. I don't know. I only saw them on those type of multi-band kind of bills.
You were back then, you were Dirty Matt. You were probably huffing mescaline.
Huffing mescaline? So is that, I take it and I grind it up and I put it like on a spoon or something, and then I heat it from below so it vaporizes it, and then I'm huffing it like that?
I mean, it sounds like you knew that answer pretty quick, so I guess so. I was talking about the band Huffing Mescaline.
Ah, dude, that's actually not a bad jam band name.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you'd run into a lot of fucking, you know, parent groups and whatnot that don't particularly care for your name, but it's catchy. Huffing Mescaline.
That's only going to make the kids like you more. That's really
good. Oh, exactly. Tell them no, that just means yes. Yeah, they're saying all concerts and sporting events in Los Angeles more than likely not going to happen in 2020. It's just kind of weird to think about.
Yeah, especially since they're supposed to open that football stadium this year and shit.
Yeah. How long do you think the store or any other venue is basically following those guidelines?
No, because that was like, well, I mean, honestly, I have no idea. I haven't heard anything from anyone, but I would guess the earliest the store opens is probably maybe September at the earliest.
Wow. It's so crazy to think about. Like, the store doesn't shut down for anything. It's open on Christmas Day, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be shut down for 6 months.
I just can't picture. I mean, it's weird because it's like part of me thinks that they would sell out shows. People are going to be like, yeah, we can go do stuff again. But then the other part of me is like, people are going to be so damaged. No one's going to want to sit in a room with 300 people.
You can't. And even with social distancing, because it's a confined space like that, you'd have to give even more room and like increase the filtration. And that's never going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you could do shows in the main room maybe, but I mean, you're talking about putting maybe 100 people in that room.
Yeah, maybe. And you're going to spread them out. It's going to be all sorts of weird.
Yeah, it's going to be 75 people in a giant room.
Still, though, like, all right, so there could be two tables within the first, like, two rows type of thing. And you'd sell individual seats. You could charge through the roof for those.
Yeah.
Because you'd have a murderer's row of guys wanting, dying for any kind of stage time.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think people will go. I just don't know. I don't think people are going to be comfortable, obviously, in the way it was before. So,
yeah, any kind of vaccine or especially testing, I don't see how any of it, any kind of live performance type of thing when people congregate, it's happening, which is, I don't know. You just start thinking about all those big picture stuff. Like, you know, is baseball even going to have a season?
Yeah.
Type of thing. Just so weird that been that kind of disruption. I don't know. It's going to define our generation for better or worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly bizarre. Just thinking back, like a month and a half ago, someone had been like, you know, they're going to shut everything down for the next half a year to a year. I would have been like, okay, you're fucking crazy. And now I'm literally just like, I don't want to have to go anywhere in public.
Well, especially with, you know, one little girl and then another child on the way.
So yeah.
I would imagine going to the hospital in this scenario coming up is going to be, you have to do it, but it's going to feel weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only allowed to be there for delivery and then I have to leave. So
that's strange.
Yeah. They just don't want to deal with people who aren't necessary being there. So
now, have you thought about COVID as a name? Because it's not bad. It's catchy.
It's pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet name.
Have you guys picked out a name? I don't need to know it or anything, but
I think Corinne has some ideas. I'm just there to negate the names I don't like. That's really a man's role in naming children.
So when you're thinking of the bad rhymes like Patty Fatty, you're like, that's not happening.
Yeah, definitely don't. And you know, obviously I've never made fun of anybody, but I don't have any desire for someone to make fun of my kid. I want my kid to be the bully.
Well, of course, given the two outcomes, either to bully or be bullied, what kid wants their child to be bullied? So
I think a bunch of these liberals, you know, want their kid out there being the victim because that's what they care about. Point is, we need to open the economy, Matt, immediately.
I was just thinking of some poor old woman that knew you as a 2-year-old and be like, what a sweet child. Like, you don't have a handle on this kid at all. Not sure this kid has a handle on it either, but sweet child is not the descriptor.
You know, people don't believe it, but I actually was given the Attitude and Effort Award all through elementary school.
Well, you were class president, weren't you?
I mean, yeah, by then, but I was class vice president because I was.
I apologize, Pence. I didn't mean to fucking offend you.
Yeah, I just don't want to take any of the glory away from Jana. You know, she's just
standing in the background with a stern look on your face during her press conferences. Listen, we're going to have the best pizza at lunch this week. And you're just behind her. You know, Rick's in charge of the pizza committee.
Yeah. I was elected strictly on this guy's a jackass who don't give a fuck policy.
I don't even I couldn't even tell you what a high school president does, like class president.
Yeah. I mean, basically student council, we ran student activity stuff. So we were in charge of
came up with themes.
We did canned food drive. We did the blood drives. We did.
What does that mean? Did you contact whatever the organization and just coordinate?
Yeah, correct. You do that shit. And then you're in charge of all the dances and homecoming and prom and all that bullshit.
Did you run for this?
Yes.
But actively, I genuinely want to be vice president.
I wanted to be vice president because I wanted to give a speech in front of the whole school. That was the end goal.
Oh, so that was the carrot.
Yeah, that was what I was like, oh, that's sweet. It'd be pretty fun. It was, you know, basically just making a mockery of, you know, all these dorks going up there. And I was the assistant for the blood drive last year, and I feel like my leadership. And I'm just like, oh. My speech was about how who gives a shit if I'm qualified. I sang, I believe the children are the future in a blue leisure suit.
Dude, I had to go to one of my nephew's high school graduations, and he had a big class, and they had a ridiculous number of valedictorians. So everybody was kept to a specific time limit, but there were so many of them that this still went on for a half an hour. And there's nothing worse than hearing an 18-year-old try and give life advice to a bunch of other 18-year-olds and then to repeatedly watch over and over and over the same stupid fucking speech rehashed. Like,
be true to yourself.
Exactly. Seniors, look back on this. This was the, these were the best days of our lives. Careless this, going into Mr. Anders' class, and then three people laugh because nobody liked Mr. Anders because he was pervy.
Mr. Anders sounds like the shit.
I just grabbed Miss Pervy, and you kind of, you got a little amped up, a little closer to the laptop. Tell me more about this Anders guy. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, I've got my niece, my she's 18. She's graduating this year, but they postponed her graduation. It'd be the last. Well, I've got one more to go back for, and then I don't think I'll ever have to travel for another high school graduation ever again.
So she's, so is she going to like virtual school to finish out the year, or are they just like, sorry, you graduate, that's the deal?
Well, the weird thing is, so she sped up her timeline and she graduated in December. Like, she wanted to be done with high school as quickly as she could, but she still wanted to go through graduation. Because her original goal was to join college for the spring semester, but my brother wouldn't let her do it. Wanted her to stay home because he knows that she's going to be gone anyway, you know, from this point forward. So it's just trying to hold on to these last 5-6 months or whatever the case is. So she was just like, all right, well, then I'll still do my graduation. So she's done. I don't know what her classmates are doing, but they're going to reschedule the graduation. It's going to feel weird. Plus, it's already the middle of May in Tennessee, so it's humid as shit by the middle of May. Like, the last time I did it 2 years ago, you're sweating as soon as you get out of the car, and you got to walk, you know, a few hundred yards over to the dam because they do it at the college, the closest college, because the graduating class is so big, they need stands for all the parents and stuff. So you're sweating through your clothes just to get there, and now they're going to push till, I don't know, June, July, August. So it's just going to be even worse as far as heat, but they'll do it at some point. But I don't know, whenever the Tennessee's pushing to open back up much earlier than other states, so they could be pushing to do this. Who knows, in 6 weeks, 2 months, I have no idea.
That shit's crazy.
I know. Like, Florida and Texas are both talking about opening up. I know Florida is opening up as quickly as they can.
They opened up the beaches in Jacksonville today.
Yeah, I saw that headline.
But, you know, now that everyone in Florida knows from watching the governor the right way to wear your face mask, they're going to be fine.
I mean, I read Texas's restrictions, and it, from what I read, they're trying to be somewhat level-headed. We want to do this, but, you know, here are the benchmarks we're imposing upon ourselves to get this done, as opposed to just flat out saying, we're going to open up. We don't care. But we'll see, man. It's fucking scary as shit. We're nowhere near through this, and just opening up is more than likely going to get tons more people sick.
Yep. Just going to extend the need for people sheltering in place. But, you know, they're idiots. I saw someone sent me a message this morning that was like, hey, did you see Steve Kramer's post on Facebook? Steve is this comic that I, when I started doing open mics in Kansas City, he was like the guy they would have headline the open mic. And okay. He moved back to LA. He was on WB sketch comedy show with like Shema Tosh and
the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I think their show lasted like 3 episodes before it got canceled. But he moved back to Kansas City, moved into his parents' house, and basically just acted like he was George Carlin, and we were all lucky to get to do the open mic that he was doing 15 minutes on at the end. And just terrible. He did a bunch of really shitty impressions. He always closed with a parody of the Bare Naked Lady song, 1 Week.
Oh, God. Sounds like Matt Bragg all over again.
Yeah, so this shit was terrible. And then I moved out here, and no one had ever heard of him. And I got a word, like, I made fun of him. I think I was making fun of him on Comedy Store podcast or something, and then someone sent me a thing saying I looked this guy up And he just released a video like maybe 2.5 years ago, and he's still doing the Bare Naked Ladies 1 week parody. He just has switched up some of the impressions that he does singing the song.
Oh, I thought it was just he's doing pop culture references within it, and it's just like a skewering. So it's hearing certain guys do an OJ joke all these years later, or a Kato Kaelin reference.
Yeah, no, this was like when I saw him doing it in 2000, he was doing part of the song as Marge Simpson. And then at some point he switched it up to the mom from Family Guy. And it's just like, I'm pretty sure it was just him actually singing the lyrics, the normal lyrics, but just as different characters. And so it's awful. But like in 2000, that song was like 1.5 years old. So
yeah, it was somewhat relevant.
Yeah. But like 2-3 years ago, when I found out that he was still doing it, I was just like, wow. So apparently yesterday he posted something on Facebook that was like, I hope I get COVID because I'm so sick of the mainstream media lying to us about this thing. I talked to someone. They said that it's not even as bad as a common cold. I'm going to get this thing and I'm going to shut everyone up about it and show that we should all be out going to live shows. And then apparently he got like 300 comments from people who were just like, dude, you're a fucking idiot. Because this person asked me if I saw it. I said, no, I don't follow him because the guy's a hack piece of shit. They said, oh, you might enjoy some of the people's comments because people were ripping into him. So I went on Facebook and looked it up, and then he had deactivated his page.
Oh.
I was pretty bummed. I was definitely looking forward to just seeing people in Kansas ripping him to pieces.
Thankfully, not. I can't think of anybody specifically. Now, I've got a bunch of people muted across various social media platforms, but I haven't seen anyone that I know saying, like, it's not so bad. It's a bunch of bullshit outside of Tripoli, but
yeah,
Tripoli retweets anything. So I don't know what he actually fucking genuinely believes in or not.
People keep going, does that piss you off? I go, no, because I know Sam is basically just peddling this bullshit because he's found it to be financially profitable.
It seems more than likely because he never expressed any of this to me. And I had known him for like very well for 15 years.
Yeah, I've known him for 19 years. And he never once spoke of a single conspiracy theory until like 2 years ago when he started a conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah. Do I believe that maybe he, you know, like that writer friend of mine that I brought up earlier that started comedy but realized it wasn't good? He doesn't believe that we've been to the moon. He's like, listen, I know I sound crazy, but it just doesn't seem logically, like, think about, you know, and he starts going into all the problems he has with it. And yes, I can understand where you could build up an idea, but it's the only one. Now, I don't know if Tripoli had one or two of those, or just like, you know, the JFK assassination was a government plot because they didn't want him in or something. Maybe he held one or two of those, but he retweets everything. And I can't imagine a conspiracy theorist believes in every single conspiracy because there's got to be conflicting conspiracies.
Yeah, but they're both right. That's the crazy part about conspiracies, Matt.
Oh.
Everything is an underhanded plot. That's what you don't realize.
I do, because of him, it is interesting to see what the nut jobs are thinking. Because without him, I wouldn't have the slightest clue of, you know, what's boiling over in Crazyville. And just to see like what the reason we have COVID. And I've seen so many different versions of why it exists, whether or not it was created by a government, our government, a different government, military, this, that, and the other. And then why is it released? It's like, wow, man, you guys got a lot of time on your hands.
Dude, the amount of people peddling that Bill Gates and the Chinese government created this as a means to selling vaccines as if Bill Gates needs to make any money doing anything.
Yeah, and he's already said he's giving away 95% of his wealth by the time he dies. So why does he need more money? He's, you know, it's just ridiculous. Have you heard about the one with the 5G is the cause?
That's the one that makes the most sense, obviously.
What? 5G is helping the spread of COVID? Okay.
When did we first get 5G, Matt? Think about it.
Just ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's honestly, it's a nice distraction from the real news.
Yeah.
It's just, it takes you to this fantasy land. And you're like, wow, this is impressive. And you start connecting like, oh, I wonder if this conspiracy theorist, you know, fucking dislikes this one over here because there's no way these two things coexist.
Yeah, I tweeted it this morning, but watched a brief amount of time on CNN, then switched over to Fox News, then let Julia watch some Sesame Street, and actually got the same amount of info from all three shows. Only difference being, obviously, that Sesame Street provided no spin on the nothing that they informed me of.
Yeah, but on some level, I would imagine Sesame Street would be better because they're saying, wash your hands, make sure you stay 6 feet away from people.
Yep.
All that stuff. Elmo puts on a mask like this, and then they show the, don't do it like this asshole in Florida. And
it's
the governor of Florida.
It was a whole episode of Elmo and his friends basically having Zoom meetings to talk and just being like, it's important we don't go outside right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's better than you're going to see because Fox may be doing the Zoom, but they'll be like, shouldn't we be outside? Let's talk to Bill, who's outside right now.
Bill, yeah.
How is it? That's great. I just coughed in this woman's face. Everything's fine.
I'm up here in Wyoming, and, you know, we got a lot of country out here. And the truth is, I think COVID might be scared of coming to Wyoming because we got so much country.
That's right. You'll never take away our guns, COVID.
We don't even got 5G out here.
I saw that Trump tweeted that. It was like, you got to liberate Virginia, and they're attacking your Second Amendment rights. You're like, so you're turning this into a gun issue. That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, that's really what this is about. They don't want us out on the streets with our guns, protecting ourselves from COVID.
Man, I have no idea what we should title this one. Usually as we're talking, something sparks and be like, that's a good title. This one, I got nothing. That's gonna be a whole lot of nothing.
Obviously, call this reeling at Snapper Jacks. That's the only way to go with this.
You know what? Snapper Jacks, it might just be. Or the early retirement at Snapper Jacks. Corinne like it as much as you?
What's that?
Does Corinne like it as much as you?
Snapper Jacks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a family favorite.
Yeah, everyone in this household is in on Snapper Jacks.
I love it. You found the one independent corporate, and that's your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's solid Mexican food.
just the way that Cesar Chavez always intended.
He ain't welcome at Snapper Jack's, man. I'm talking about real Mexican food, the way white Americans intended it to be.
Exactly. We fry our wheat or our fucking flour tortillas up here.
Duh.
I say we call it there. That's as good as end point as any other.
Yes, sir.
Anything you want to plug? You know, shows coming up, places you'll be?
Yeah, you can see me on the security footage of Snapper Jacks in Ventura County. I'm going to be just taking dumps and sniffing the kitchen.
I think that was a Molly Hatchet album, actually.
You can hear that song. A song
exactly. That's why Snapper Jacks loves him so much. follow him at Rick Ingram. You can follow me at Matt Nost. I think that's it this week for Embrace the Hate.
Yeah, if anyone needs to set up an appointment with Dr. Dictator Penis Cock, just hit up my secretary.
Who is that?
I don't know her name, man. It's just some broad.
Perfect. All right, that's it this week. Stay safe out there. Wash those hands. Keep 6 feet away.
Adios.